Ho, ho, ho.
Yay.
Hey, welcome, everyone, to a very Static and Distortion Christmas special. What's that? What's that I hear? Is that a reindeer on your fucking, on your roof?
No, it's John the Grinch.
Yes, and he's here for the Static and Distortion Christmas special. Oh, is that a Santa Claus?
No, that's Chris shaking his empty glass looking for a scotch refill. Honey.
Well, either way, it's all sorts of holiday magic here at the Static Podcast. Hi, I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris.
I'm Ralphert.
Ralphie?
Ralphie.
No, Ralphert. Ralphert. Go by my full name.
Just Ralphie, short for Ralphert.
I'm John. Hi, everybody.
The Grinch.
The Grinch. And as if you couldn't guess, we're doing kind of a loosely based Christmas music episode this time around. It's something we planned all year. We waited all year, and now it's Christmas Eve in our hearts, not on the calendar.
Well, it might be Christmas Eve when this is actually released.
When you're listening to it, I'm going to listen to this on Christmas Eve and every Christmas Eve.
I thought you hated podcasts.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've been planning this for a long time, and Robert and I are huge fans of good Christmas music. We are very opinionated about Christmas music because, much like all of you, we really hate all the bad Christmas music out there, and bad music in general. And I think we both agree that it gets kind of an unfair rap because there's a lot of really good stuff out there if you know what you're looking for, even if you really hate all Christmas music, like John. You
except
can't
for the Bad Religion album.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
That was
what
horrible.
The fuck? You will find something that you can relate to. So we're here to espouse all of that. That's my word.
Espouse?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Thank you. And yeah, I think we were going to originally do like an 8-hour episode.
Mm-hmm. That was the plan.
I think we're going to break that out into 6 individual episodes, but it'll still be 8 hours.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Math.
Yeah, fractions.
Fractions.
It's impossible to know how long each episode will be.
I want to touch on something you brought up quickly.
Okay.
You mentioned that Christmas music gets a bad rap, and Chris and I don't appreciate the fact that it gets a bad rap, simply because, and Chris touched on all of this, you know, there's great Christmas music out there. I just want to say that most of the stuff that people listen to is the stuff that they hear in the mall or the grocery store or on the radio, whatever it may be. This is, most of that stuff we're going to touch on is in the bad
yeah.
category.
Almost
that's,
all
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
almost
that's
all of it. Really.
Not the stuff we're going to talk about.
And, you know, there's good
so
compositions.
Like
maybe. You did like that Bad Religion song. So I don't know. But, you know, there's good, and this is a conversation we had a long time ago, too, but there's good songs, and they're good, you know, like the old standards are still good, but they overplay the worst versions of them.
Yes.
So you end up saying something stupid like, oh, I hate, you know, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, because all you hear is like the bullshit awful versions that are out there all the time.
Gloria Estefan's version.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming she has one. I don't
she probably does, but
probably
more
several,
importantly,
several versions
that see Christmas through your eyes from her, just fucking horrible.
I have never heard that.
You either. Probably have, but you just blanked it out from your memory.
Maybe. So we could go on at length, and I think we will, if we can, end up doing another half of this episode devoted strictly to just all that's wrong in the world of Christmas music. But I think we'll try to stay on point with the good that's out there. Yeah, we'll start good, and then we'll end up bad.
Kind just of like every episode.
Our, yeah, like all of our podcasts. So Robert's the oldest one amongst us that likes Christmas music. So
schoolyard rules now. Just
triple dog dare you to go first.
Oh, Ralph.
I'm sorry, Ralph.
Ralph Bert, or whatever your name is.
Ralph Bert. Chris asked me before we actually began this very episode. We were trying to figure out what we're going to open with, and I'm gonna jump right into it. One of my favorite, not only just Christmas songs, but just the actual full album, you know, or the soundtrack that you can find together from Vince Guaraldi Trio for the Charlie Brown Christmas Special is phenomenal from start to finish.
Absolutely.
It really
is. We're all in agreement there.
But
yeah, that you can't not
to agree. Jump right in that. Christmas Time Is Here. If you hear that in the right moment at the right time, I could probably get teary eyed from that.
Yeah.
it cuts right to your heart.
It does.
Boys Choir is just really phenomenal. And I know we're starting very broad. A lot of people know this song, but I think we're gonna narrow down into it later. But and not just that, you know, the skating song and just the overall music from it.
It is a good soundtrack, and they just released a remastered version of it last year, I want to say, maybe the year before. That's better, but I think there's some charm to the original kind of tinny quality to it. That's fun to listen to. But yeah, there's a lot of covers of it out there too. Some good, some bad, most unknown. but Vince Guaraldi, it's good, and they have what is it? Green Sleeves is on there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's another real good one off that album.
I don't know.
I never really considered like the Peanuts theme, like a Christmas song.
But you'll always hear it on the radio.
Yeah,
during Christmas
I don't
time.
Understand that.
Really. I don't either.
Good.
Do you guys not know the Charlie Brown Christmas?
Well, no, because there's so many Charlie Brown specials that theme song is related to that it loses its...
Yeah, it's not like the Charlie Brown Christmas is the only Charlie Brown movie ever released. It's in all of them, you know. And it's kind of just the theme song to Charlie Brown. It's not specific to that movie.
True. Yeah.
So why the radio plays that at Christmas time?
Because it's awesome. Like,
it's a great song, but it's not a Christmas song. Christmas Time Is Here. That's a Christmas song.
Yes.
So. It is great, though. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't understand why they play it at Christmas specifically when there's all the other ones on there that are Christmas related.
All the other ones.
Yeah. So that's a good one.
I think this is a good we can go to Chris next, and then we can throw it to the Grinch for some bad music.
Ooh. I don't like bad music.
You do. You like that Bad Religion track.
I think it's funny. That's why. Yeah. Whatever. Guys.
That Bad Religion album reminded me. A friend of mine introduced me to a bad Christmas song from Big D and the Kids Table. Have yourself a Boston Little Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible.
I'm bad.
Yeah.
You know who's got okay? You know, kind of. Ironic Christmas tracks is a motherfucking Jonathan Coulton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did. John doesn't know who he is. He did a track for the video game Portal.
Yeah,
called Still Alive, which is really catchy and really great and really fun. And he actually has a ton of music out there. He was one of kind of in that pioneering class of just releasing your music free online. He did a series called A Thing a Week, in which he just posted a new song every week for a year. And a lot of it's funny and a lot of it's good times, you know, but he has a couple really kind of clever Christmas songs out there that aren't too bad.
I like Jonathan Coulton.
Yeah, no, he's cool. He's a cool guy. I saw him in concert. He's fun. I saw him at Paul and Storm. Were there too.
I love Paul and Storm. I was going to say, a lot of these musical comedians probably reference Jonathan Coulton as like the pioneer. Mm-hmm. And I guess so, but I mean, I don't want to see a Steve Lynch concert because of Jonathan Coulton. So.
No. Yeah, and you know, the thing with Coulton too is like a lot of his, you know, like I don't think he has a lot of silly songs for the sake of being silly.
Yeah.
A lot of them are really kind of deeply poignant when you get past the sheen of it. But yeah, he has a couple good ones. In general, though, I really hate novelty Christmas music in every form. I don't think there is a good novelty Christmas song that I like. But yeah, no. I wrote a while back a list of the top 30 Christmas tracks of all time, and I have that pulled up. And a thing I really like in Christmas music is kind of the old English carols.
Yes.
I tend to really enjoy. A lot of them are 18th century, 17th century, you know, hymnals or, you know, otherwise psalms, you know, that are just, there's a piece of music out there and they kind of just combine them. And right. There are bad ones out there, but you don't hear them ever because they haven't stuck around long enough. But, you know, like we were talking about Greensleeves earlier, that comes from that's a 19th century English hymnal that's adapted for it. I'll start, though. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Coventry Carol as one of my all-time favorite. Just completely morose and somber English carol from the 16th century. That's kind of about this massacre of the innocents from Gospel according to Matthew, and it's really really reverent. It gets you kind of in that reverent mood, and I'm not really everybody knows I'm not really a hugely religious person. I don't go to church, but I went to a Lutheran school when I was young for a while. And while that was all crazy, it is something to go to a big, you know, not a big, but like a kind of a old fashioned, like, you know, church, you know, in the winter pageantry and listen to these old hymnals, these old carols sung in these very reverent tones. I think Coventry Carol, maybe with a couple others, exemplifies that entirely.
Did you want me to put a version of that on?
Sure. Let me send you one.
I have the one from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir pulled up.
Okay, perfect, yeah.
Okay. This is Coventry Carol from Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
It is, and a lot of those types of songs are, you know, I could easily say that about, you know, like "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel,"
which is what I was going to bring up next, actually.
Well, it's funny because it's recently been kind of rediscovered, I think, in the past few years, and it's kind of getting to the point where like a lot of folks are doing covers of it, which is interesting because some of them are pretty bad out there, and it's getting down there, of course. But it's actually kind of hard to fuck up this song because it's really good. And it actually, there are some accounts that the hymnal itself dates back to the 8th century, which is crazy old for any sort of music that we're still listening to today. More realistically, probably 15th century, which would put it around the time of 12 Days of Christmas, which is a shit song, by the way. Fuck yes. That song. probably a lot of music from the 15th century is probably not all that great, but at the latest, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel" from that era. A lot of these old kind of English carols, these old hymnals, it's hard for me to dislike them.
Yeah, I'd say my favorite probably is "O Holy Night." It gets that one. That's the one that gets me every time.
Yeah, "O Holy Night" is maybe my favorite Christmas song in general.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah,
it's as far as that category, easily, hands down. I think I met one person that tried to argue against it once, and I just don't understand it. It's such a beautifully written song.
And you can paint such a mental image with that song in the background, and it doesn't matter if it's a church choir or just a congregation singing it, all the way up to, you know, could be some professional group. No matter where you hear it, it's really usually just beautiful.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, even some of the worst artists out there that do covers of it are still usually listenable, you know? Like, for instance, Josh Groban, I don't like his cover of it. I think it's, and the problem with O Holy Night is is the diva factor. You get these singers that do it just so they could say, look at me hit this high note and hold it.
Yeah.
And that obviously detracts from it, but the overall song is still kind of listenable. I think one of my favorite versions outside of, you know, just kind of the choral versions out there is a version done by Perry Como, because he can't hit the high note at the end. So he sings that same note that you do in the previous chorus, but then the backing vocals and the string sections lift to hit the high while he's singing that. And it's something about that is just really powerful and different.
I do go to church. I am a church goer, and it's the one song at my specific church that we always close our Christmas service with. And when we do it, we go full out. We lower the lights, and everyone gets a candle. And and we don't sing, you know, the shortened version. We're there for like, feels like fucking 20 minutes singing our hearts out. You know, it's probably only like, you know, 9 minutes in total or something like that. They're singing the slow sort of march along. But I always find myself getting kind of teary-eyed and misty-eyed when we sing that because of the glowing lights and the atmosphere. So
I agree. Yeah, that is either that or Silent Night usually is done, you know, with candlelight services. I don't remember what we did last year at our church service, but that's a crowd pleaser. All the kids are digging it. There's a version of O Holy Night. I'm a fan of Sandra McCracken, is a kind of folky. She's a Christian artist, doesn't do exclusively Christian, but she's just a really good songwriter in general, and has a pretty nice voice. And she put out a Christmas EP like 2 or 3 years ago called the Lo-Fi Christmas EP. And she just sat in her kitchen and played acoustic guitar and sang it to her laptop.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
And so it's just her.
Is she on Spotify or whatever?
This one is not. She's on Spotify, but this album is not. I'll just email you guys the track. I'll just email you the whole EP. It's really good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
She does "Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming," "O Holy Night," and "Silent Night."
That's a good one too. That I just recently rediscovered. There was
every
year PBS does the is it Swedish or is it Norwegian? What is it? They do one of the choirs out there. And they do a special where they sing a bunch. And they did a version of that. And I was like, oh, man, this is fucking good. So then I remembered it, and then I looked up some good versions of it and included it on my Christmas playlist this year. But that, you're right, that's another really good one.
Yeah,
you have the Philadelphia Brass Ensemble doing on your list doing that song.
Well, there you go.
I'm kind of perusing the list as we go along here.
Yeah.
Who's my list? Chris's list?
My playlist from this year, yeah. For those who don't know, I do a Christmas mega playlist every year. This year is the 13th year that I've done one. Yeah. And, you know, they all are kind of.
Lucky 13.
It was kind of real lucky holiday season. but they all kind of build on versions from previous. I think like my worst was the 10th one because like I just lost sight of the meaning of Christmas. I just put on like a bunch of things that I liked, and then in no real order, and it was like so not cohesive, and it made no sense, and I really hated it. But I put this, you know, longtime listeners will know I put quite a bit of effort into arranging the playlists to make them flow and make them make sense. Yeah. So everything on my playlist is really good, Robert. So,
well, we were talking earlier, and we mentioned O Come, Emmanuel, and we didn't really go into depth about that, but that's probably one of my favorite, I guess you would, as Chris would say, maybe older Christmas songs of the more choir, more, you know, religious based.
Traditional sense, yeah.
Yeah. And I recently rediscovered that song off of an album that, even though he didn't introduce me to it, Chris, was something we actually came together and we realized we both listened to and liked. And that's the Holidays Rule album. And it's a version from the Punch Brothers, which I'm a huge fan of. And I was like, oh, wow, the Punch Brothers is on this. Let me check this out. And they do you can't say it's a folk version because it's even more stripped down than that. It's just like Chris Thiel and, you know, Cast doing this great version of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And his voice very much lends to the song itself, you know, whereas, you know, Silent Night and O Holy Night, and there's songs out there that are made to sound uplifting and joyful, even though they're of a somber, you know, slower tempo. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, it sounds not trying. I can't put the exact word that I'm thinking of on it, but it sounds questionable. You know, you really have to sit down and think what you're getting out of this song when you listen to certain versions of it. So there's other versions that are just half-assed, and they're just like, oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel. It's like, you need to shut the fuck up. So.
Yeah. I think I've gotten a bad rap of being the Christmas music Grinch, because that's the stuff that I just can't. I can't take those bad versions of it at all. And the thing too with, I know some of the Christmas music that I like, others may not. Yeah,
like that Bad Religion bullshit.
But you know, you're never gonna let that go, are you?
Nope.
Supposed to be funny. Never mind. But no, you know, I don't know that anybody. He's going to like my, you know, version of, you know, Pedro the Lion's version of I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. You know, like that type of stuff. Nobody else might like it, but it's just like any kind of music. You know, I don't expect people to like what I like, but I really hate a lot of stuff that other people like.
FYI, Johnny Cash's version of that.
Yeah, I was really just going to say, Johnny Cash, his version, fucking great.
And his version of Silent Night could bring you to your knees. Yeah.
When I found out he had a Christmas album, man, I was quite surprised. And then it was really good too.
Yeah.
I remember when I found out that he had a Christmas album, and it was about 30 seconds ago.
I did not know that. Yeah, you're
I'm on Spotify right now looking it up.
It's there. He's very real.
He's it's very cool. Real.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's a good kind of like old fashioned.
Johnny Cash is a human human being.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That was my Christmas burp.
Mm-hmm. What are you drinking tonight, Robert?
Blue Moon Mountain Abbey Ale.
Weird.
It's kind of good.
I don't know.
What are you drinking?
Is it orange and what?
No, it's copper color ale. It's crafted with roasted malts, Belgian sugar, and a touch of wheat for a rich caramel flavor and a smooth toffee finish.
With just a hint of orange.
There's no orange flavoring in this.
Yeah, you say so. I want to say I was at I think I was at Park's Place, and he had like Blue Moon, like pumpkin ale or something like that, and it was still like advertised like the orange flavor of it. And I was like, "What are you guys doing? One trick pony much? Citrus much? say much. Yeah, much.
I'm over that.
I'm just drinking Sam Adams Winter.
It's up to you, Christopher.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah, I just went with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'm going to switch things up then and not say another old carol. Go,
time to win.
I am going to... What am I going to go with here? I'm going to... I'll just go with my favorites then, since that's what we're doing. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I think yes. is one that gets overplayed a bit, but it's another one that's just quiet and hopeful and passionate and good. And it's written by this Jewish guy in the war. No, that's another one. This is also written by a Jewish guy, but not in the war, but around wartime, after the war. But it appears in Meet Me in St. Louis initially. And I was telling Robert and I were talking about this yesterday. The original line in the last verse is like this really sorrowful kind of, you know, until next Christmas, you know, until then we'll just have to muddle through somehow.
Right. Right.
Which when it got on the desk of Frank Sinatra, he decided that that was really depressing, which it is and good because it's depressing. And that's when they changed it to hang a shining star upon the highest bough. Though there is a version out there of Frank Sinatra singing the original lines, and it's real great. So I don't know. I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to that sort of thing, and it's a better line anyway. So unfortunately, most versions out there have the hang a shining star line, and I kind of just cringe a little bit because it could be an otherwise brilliant version of it. Yeah, Sleeping at Last has a really great version of it. And you know, and that's the line. So you know, I get over it. But just a really beautiful, sweet, and just quietly sad, but yet hopeful song. I've always loved it.
Cool.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Grinch, you're up.
Yay.
Bah, humbugs.
I'd say.
Have you ever heard of this band called Bad Religion?
Because they have a Christmas album, let me tell you.
Yeah, they do.
I hear it's really funny.
Well, I'd say probably the funniest thing about the Bad Religion whole Christmas album is, first of all, they're all like the old-timey hymn type style songs for the most part, done in that pop punk kind of thing, but it's just funny because most of these guys, I mean, Bad Religion was started in the early 80s. You know, they've been around forever, and now they're just a bunch of middle-aged guys who used to wear like upside down cross, you know, symbols, and you know, they were punk, and they're just doing a Christmas album, and it makes no sense, and I find it ironic and funny. All right, well, I explained that.
Yeah, now we won't have to do that again. Promise, no. We're not going to keep making fun of you.
You're totally going to keep making fun of me. I also hate you both.
Love you.
The other favorite song, and I never really thought of this as a Christmas song until Soup John Stevens did it, the song Holy, Holy, Holy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that one. A song has a great melody. It's just a very simple song, but his version of it is quite good, and I enjoy it.
He's got that's a pretty good Christmas album he did.
It's a crapload of Christmas songs.
It was like 35 million Christmas songs.
And he probably has like another album of like 600 Christmas songs he's going to put out this year too. It seems like that's his thing. He probably spends more time putting out Christmas stuff than actual other music.
Which is fine. I mean, you get the sense when you listen to it that he just like got himself in a studio for like 2 days and just like, we are doing this straight. Every it Christmas was totally. Song.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's multiple versions of some songs too. Well, he does that just in general. He'll, you know, multiple versions of the same song on different albums and things like that, because he's like, oh, let's just do it again. All right. I enjoy a lot of his. Another one, what is the one? Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, he puts on his Christmas album too, and it's an amazing version of it. So I guess I would just say another one of my Christmas favorites are the Sufjan Stevens, which we started the show with, one of the funnier ones, Get Behind Me, Santa. And then there's another one that's called Did I Make You Cry on Christmas Day? Well, you deserved it. So it crosses the spectrum there, but that gets me in the warm, fuzzy Christmas mood to listen to Mr. Stevens.
Two things. I want to talk about the Christmas song because I do love it, but I just feel that everyone knows about the Christmas song, especially the Nat King Cole version. Mm-hmm. But I would be remiss if we went this entire podcast without mentioning it.
For me, it's much like O Holy Night. You know, yes, it's up there. It's either that or O Holy Night is my favorite Christmas song,
and people know it. It's on constantly. I think it was rated the number one Christmas song of all time.
It probably deserves that. You know, I don't. It's not a lot to say about that, really.
So I just want to mention it, but I'm going to move on. As Chris mentioned earlier, he and I were talking yesterday about this, and I was going through his playlist, and there was a song on here that I had forgotten about until I saw it on here, and it reminded me of it. And I'm going to go back to the old. The old English.
Ooh.
And that is Jesu, Joy of Man's Desire. I love the hell out of this song. From a different point of view, because I played it in high school and it was just so much fun to play. It was just it's a great song to listen to, and it has this great round, warm sound to it that just fills a hall and fills your chest and your ears with this great chord progressions. But more so, it was just really, really fun to play from a brass standpoint, because creating those, you know, those notes and those chords and everything like that was just, when everything came together, it was just really cool to hear. And really cool to see people's face light up, and really cool to hear that reverb and that sound bounce back. So, just from a technical, I guess, standpoint, from a playing standpoint, that's a really fun song to listen to and take in. And not to mention, once again, the religious overtones and Santa Claus and Johnny Cash.
And reindeer. Yeah. And the like. So anyway, German, by the way, Bach did that one. So
I was wrong, but it's an older classical arrangement.
It is an older song.
That's what I was going with. So.
Yeah, and you know, that makes sense. You know, the appreciation of it from a technical standpoint. I mean, that's Bach's whole fucking thing with
that,
and Baroque. You know, it is just gorgeous.
If it ain't Baroque,
don't tell the joke.
All right, I'm done. Like, I'm gonna go sit here.
If it ain't Baroke, don't tell the joke.
Nice. Get that on a T-shirt. Static and Distortion. Line of apparel.
Jen, get on that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, try not to screw this one up like you did with my other T-shirt.
Oh.
So many Lost Dinosaur Juniors on that T-shirt. It actually came out fine. She really was hard on herself.
Does Dinosaur Junior have a Christmas album? To the internet.
Merry Christmas.
That's not how he sounds.
All right. It's your turn, Chris, but I'm looking this up. So, yes.
Has Dinosaur Jr. ever recorded a Christmas song?
Jesus, Joy of Man's Desire is so good. When I was saying yesterday, when it goes to minor, you know, that's just when your soul just fucking breaks out of your mouth.
Yes.
So great.
It's so warm and just such it's just such a good song. I liked playing it. It was really good.
It was good and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So one that I like to kind of break convention on what I've been saying is a 60s Christmas tune, Please Come Home for Christmas. Charles Brown does a really, really good version of it, but it's been redone by the likes of, you know, Luther Vandross, other soul-type singers. Aaron Neville does a really warbly version in his, as is his style. But I think it's just this really cool little blues kind of Christmas song that I always enjoy it.
Yay.
Yeah.
I don't know that one, actually.
Please Come Home for Christmas. You would probably know it if you heard it.
Maybe if I heard it, but off the top of my head, I can't think of it off the top of my head.
It's a really cool little blues chord progression. It's blues-ish. It's not the standard blues chord progression, but
yeah,
it's definitely of that style. Yeah, check it out. It's good times.
I'll check it out.
It's number 18 on my fucking list.
All right. I'll
all
I'll
time, shoot John. High
for number 18. There we go. You're gonna change heart and some minds with number 18.
You don't even want to know what's 17.
I don't actually.
I will say it's written by William Kirkpatrick.
Okay. Am I up?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing? We never really discussed that. We're just taking turns talking about Christmas songs we like. Is that what this is all about?
Until you can't anymore because your heart is so full of anger and hatred.
Then you're not King of Christmas anymore.
We would lose King of Christmas songs to Chris.
Immediately. Yes. We'd be out in the first round and Chris would win.
Pretty sure this is the King of Christmas.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the
Segway.
King of Rock. Because I was going to go off my beaten path and say that Blue Christmas is actually one of my favorite Christmas songs.
It's in my top ones, too. I was going to say it earlier. I mean, Elvis is just one of those...
Guys I hate?
Maybe, but he's also one of the few kind of artists who have done Christmas music justice with their albums.
Yes.
And they've added to the good side of the catalog. You know, folks like Bing Crosby and Perry Como, like, these are standards. They're all good. Elvis is up there with, like, he kind of defined Christmas music, redefined Christmas music when he put out his massive, actually, Christmas album with all of his interpretations. And Blue Christmas, I mean, definitely the jewel on that album.
It's funny too because as a kid I hated it. I just it totally turned me off. And then somewhere in my Grinch heart, I found room for it in my 20s. And that one and I'm working my way into a twofer here, but that one and this one might, I don't know if this is going to be controversial or not. Paul McCartney's "Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time."
Shut your mouth.
I really hate that song. What's their Jars of Clay does a good version of that.
Having a Wonderful Christmas Time?
Yeah.
I was just going to say how much I hated that version of it.
Oh, it's the old, that makes sense because you like the original version.
Yeah. Because I like the Beatles and I like Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I like the Beatles. I don't like Wings so much.
I do. Well, I read somewhere that every year Paul McCartney makes like $260,000 in royalties from just that song.
That makes sense.
Cool would it be to write a song that every year you just get about $250,000 in royalties from?
That's Paul McCartney's life. That's every day of his life.
I know, but I mean, pretend like he wasn't in the Beatles. He wasn't in Wings. He's just a dude who wrote a Christmas song that caught on.
And I don't know if it would have caught on. It might have caught on in England. They have a whole swath of Christmas music that we've never even heard of. That's just standard for them that they listen to all the time. That would probably be one of them. We probably wouldn't be listening to it if he was just some motherfucker who wrote that. You know, and to counter that though, and to acquiesce, I guess, to a degree. One I know that I like that I don't think either of you guys do is John Lennon's Christmas song, Happy Xmas.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't care for it.
I generally don't care for it. I don't hate it. but I don't know. I think it's almost. I always took John Lennon's version of that one as a little bit scolding.
Christmas should be.
Yeah. But then other people who cover it, I think, make it even worse because they, yeah. It's like, I don't like it for that element in John Lennon's original, but then when people miss it completely and do it as some other, like, positive type song later, that it just, I'm like, I don't like that either. I don't know. I want my cake and I want to eat it too. I don't know. But I don't hate the song in general. It's an okay song.
Fair enough.
I think we've just talked about like five songs and we've totally skipped Robert.
No, that's okay.
It's his turn.
I've just been looking for the Dinosaur Jr. Christmas album. There's not one. I'm bringing up.
He's also our call screener tonight.
I don't care for the song Jingle Bells. It's okay. I could take it or leave it, whatever it may be. But I really like the Frank Sinatra version of it because it sounds like your drunk uncle sitting at a piano on Christmas Eve and he's trying to like vamp and have a good time with it, but he's really, really drunk. So you have these added lyrics. So it's like, I like them. I'm going to try to sing it in drunk Uncle Frank's voice. I have them jingle bells. Those holiday. And he tries to fit that holiday word in there. And it's just like, you need to go home. You're drunk.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I give him credit because, you know, it's just fun. It's a fun song.
That is fun.
It's fun. Yeah, it's and everything we've talked about songs that bring you joy or tears or happiness or whatever. This is the fun aspect that you can put that on and I'll sing along with it. But I know it's like, this isn't the best song to be listening to.
I'm not a fan of the song, but that version is fun. And I'll say to that end, Dean Martin's Christmas album, or one of them has some rarer versions and takes of tracks in which he's just really clearly just completely blitzed.
Winging it.
And he's making up lyrics and like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I think, is an atrociously awful song. But he has a version of it. And he just, like, slips into German for part of it. And he's just, like, so drunk and saying, I always put it on my playlist because it's just so much damn fun. That and Let It Snow is just completely slurred the whole way through. And stuff like that, yeah, I'll put it on and I'll sing along and it's good, though I don't like the song in general. So kind of the opposite about what we were talking about earlier, you know, with having good songs with terrible versions out there. Bad songs with really good
variety. Like I said, it's not the best Christmas song out there. There's much worse. There's much better. It's just like a middle-of-the-road Christmas song. But that specific version, because of the way he brings that, you know, that Frank Sinatra swagger, I can't think of the word I'm thinking of. Bravado Ralphard. To it. It's just really fun to hear him sing it, so.
Bellissima.
Yeah, blah, blah, Italian.
He brings that Italian, that Italian too.
Me speaking the third best Italian. So, there you go.
So I won't count Happy Christmas Wars over as for my last one. Although I do love that song. And I'm unjustly crucified for that. Let me look here and see what else is on my guy. It's one that I should hate, but I really like it, when they do the German version of it and not the translated version, is O Tannenbaum. And I can't really pinpoint why I like it so much. I think it's somewhere in between that, you know, it's a 17th century piece. Right, so it's crazy old, but it's also not English, and it's not Latin, you know, it's not, religious at all. Yet it's still from that era. And I think there's still that sense of reverence. Kind of, you get that kind of musky, you know, kind of smell off of it when you're when it's at your face. That I tend to dig, and I can understand folks not liking it. I think I don't know if I've ever met anyone that just like hated it or whatever, but I could see people being indifferent to it. But like I said, just listening to the original kind of German version of it is, you know, makes you want to invade Poland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Grinch's turn.
Because of Hitler.
This is Hitler.
Jeez, I'm up.
I love them jingle bells.
I like Holly Jolly Christmas.
You're drunk.
You are the worst.
I like it.
Oh, man.
Just drunk.
Drunk
I'm not
doesn't...
drunk.
So he said drunkenly.
Just so drunk.
I did my drinking last night. Company holiday Christmas party.
Just so drunk.
I mean, Burl Ives is a monster. He is a menace. He is so bad. And he has this fucking album, The Holly Jolly Christmas is on.
Yeah.
That also includes, like, Snow for Johnny, you know, and, like, these other fucking just, and like, Silver and Gold, and, like, these other awful, just, like, what the fuck are you doing kind of things. And Holly Jolly Christmas is, like, a short song, too. It's not even that long. It's only got, right, like, two fucking verses. And that's the one that has a line, somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Like, get the fuck out of my life, Burl Ives.
I like the version by The Format.
Oh, The Format, man. I haven't heard of that of them in a while.
Yeah. Who is the lead singer of Fun's previous band?
Oh, I don't really. I haven't really gotten into Fun.
I haven't either. I don't like Fun.
Yeah, I try. Yeah.
No Fun intended.
Oh
sweet
you are,
Jesus.
This is why you like Burl Ives.
And so...
It's the best time of the year.
He is a real, he is a deplorable individual. And I think that's the thing is, like, you know, it's like, I'm going to make this music for kids, but I'm going to do it in, like, the creepiest way possible. Yeah, that's what I hear when I hear Burl Ives sing. It's just like this creepy old motherfucker trying to spoil, you know, my childhood innocence.
Okay, moving on.
Did we want to talk about some of the songs we hate?
I think we.
I think we just did.
We're actually kind of coming up on time. I think
that's why I want to.
So I think we could save that. We could, I think we could save that for part two. I think we could do one more run through of songs we like.
Would you be opposed to something that's more related with New Year's than Christmas?
Well, no, not necessarily.
Specifically, the version of "Auld Lang Syne" by Andrew Bird.
Oh yeah, "Auld Lang Syne" is just a good time.
It's just a good song, and you know it depends on what sort of arrangement or version you have. It's a classic song. It's a timeless song, but there are versions that are definitely better than others. The Andrew Bird version is one I recently heard that I really, you know, came in love with, and I've been listening to it quite a lot. So that's something I'm probably going to listen to at midnight come this, you know, December 31st, January 1st.
When you're alone in your studio apartment, naked with mustard stains all over you.
It'll probably just be me alone in my office that I'm currently sitting in. I don't know, just furiously masturbating.
Something. Furiously to the new year.
With mustard. That's how those stains got on there.
So spicy. So this was a poor choice. But I can't stop now.
With just a big gallon jug of milk next to me to help me stay hydrated.
This is terrifying.
Or maybe eggnog.
I hate eggnog.
Yeah. I think, in general, I don't like eggnog. I've had some good eggnog before.
Whole milk, by the way. Not fat-free or skim or 1%. We're going whole milk.
With a creamer chaser. How about, like, packets? I was going to say, like, yeah, packets of half and half.
Creamer chaser.
Nothing about this is comfortable.
A long sleeve shirt with the sleeves down. Not even rolled up, down. Just slight mustard stains around the cuff.
Oh. Oh, that's happy gritty. New year.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, make sure you play this one on Christmas Eve with the whole family.
Guess who's trimming their tree tonight? I got hot all of a sudden.
Yeah, you and all of our listeners, baby.
It's like a all babbling brook in springtime. Just blah,
blah, blah. Anyway, I'm going to go with Los Peces en el Rio, which I just discovered last year.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I hadn't either until last year. If you were paying attention, I already said this.
Get your head in the game, John.
Pull your head out of your ass, John. Come on. No, I forget who I asked what their favorite Christmas song was, and they said it was this, and I was like, oh, check it out. It's this Spanish song, obviously. Classic Spanish song that doesn't get a lot of radio play because it's
not Feliz Navidad.
Existing to exploit, yeah, like fucking Feliz Navidad does, which isn't even, it was a Puerto Rican guy wrote that? I know, because you're a monster. Los Peces en el Rio, it's a very, very old song. So 15th century is what you date this one to. And at that time, the cultural influence there kind of bleeds over into Arabic and Middle Eastern. And it's just got this, so it is a very distinctly Spanish flavor, but you could also hear like this old, very old world kind of Arabic influence in it. And it's a song of like, it's a weird song, you know, when you look at the lyrics and what it's about, like it's just this weird little children's story about these fish. They're not magic fish or anything, but they reside in the river next to like Mother Mary's house, and they kind of watch Jesus grow up, and it's a weird little fucking story. but the song itself is really very good. There's unfortunately just a lot of really bad versions of it out there, as I'm sure you can imagine. I do have one on my Christmas playlist, a good version I found by Gabby something or other. I cannot remember her name right now. But it's kind of like this interesting little swing version, which is really good. Don't listen to the Mannheim Steamroller version.
Yeah, let's just say never listen to anything from Mannheim Steamroller. Never listen to anything from Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
No.
Just avoid that.
And if you happen upon Bad Religion's Christmas album,
just keep on going.
Yep. Just walk.
No, what you do is you buy it on limited edition pressed vinyl and send it to the Static and Distortion headquarters care of John.
When you said
I hope you get like 7 copies of that now.
As I was saying, I don't listen to anything from Trans-Siberian Orchestra. My wife was walking through the room and gave me the she likes them.
Oh, that's sad. Does she know that you like that Bad Religion one though?
Yes.
Is her ringtone Wizards of Winter from Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
I sure hope not.
Stupid TSO.
It's my turn now.
It's your, and it's the last one.
Yay.
Feliz Navidad.
Fuck it up.
No, it's not Feliz Navidad. It is Just Like Christmas by Low.
Silence.
Yeah,
I've got nothing on that.
I think I have that one on my list. Hold on.
It's one of my favorites.
I don't. I know I have Low on here. Do I not have him on my
list? Low. Low. I also like their version of
Silent. Oh yeah,
Night.
I wasn't able to get it. It wasn't on. I don't think it's on Spotify. But yeah, no, that is good actually.
Yeah, Just Like Christmas. It's been a fan favorite of mine for the last however many years that song's been out.
Yeah, no, I agree. Actually, that one that one is pretty good. We talk about Low a lot, I guess, which is weird.
I like Low.
I know. they're okay. I don't not like them. I have to be in the right kind of mood to listen to them, I think.
Well, me too, but when I'm in that mood, they're just freaking great.
Yeah, I would say, Robert, you should try and check it out.
It's okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's on Spotify.
Yeah. Did you guys see the one I posted on Facebook during the show when I was not listening?
Yeah, I did. That one before.
Yeah.
I was like, cool, I know what John's doing. Doing the podcast.
Along with Chris, who was liking things on Facebook while we were sitting here talking.
I was liking all sorts of things, though.
I know, that's what I mean. Never half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing.
This is a Homer Simpson. You wouldn't know because you've never even heard of The Simpsons. But one of my favorites because was, but I was using my whole ass. And with that, that concludes part one of our awesome, what was it? I wrote it down. Hold on. Static and Distortion Christmas special.
Did you really have to write that down?
I cannot remember. I was going to shout line, and then I remembered I still had Notepad open.
Line.
Notepad.
I use it exclusively for things like this.
Things I use it that never. Don't matter.
I'll save it.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to end with? What song are we going to end with here?
I'm sure we can find something from Sting, right?
Oh, man. Have you heard his Christmas album, by the way?
I have, actually.
Man, I cannot do it.
I don't hate it.
I love the concept of it, but then I also hate the concept of it because it's Sting doing it.
Well, yeah, I don't hate it.
Of course he's
going to
make this fucking album, you know?
I just have no interest in it whatsoever.
It's so fucking boring and dry.
Yeah.
There's nothing to it. And
if the Police put out a Christmas album, I could get behind that. Some Stuart Copeland drums on the, you know, Oh Holy Night or something. I don't know. And with that, we end the show.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want?
I'm
to
doing
do
Sleigh Ride by the Ronettes.
Oh, I love that one.
That yep. works.
So, who wants to take us out of this?
Play
I
us out,
the
Johnny.
Ronettes were.
We're not gonna do like I'm Ralph.
Burt. Oh yeah, no, I'm Ralph Burt.
I'm Ralph Burt.
I'm Dilbert.
Oh, what's the real quick before we go? What is that from WGN? The old
Hard Rock Coco and Joe.
Yes. What? Yes.
Huh?
You don't know that?
I'm not from here.
Oh, that's true. He's not from here.
That's very true. I thought everybody knew it too.
Well,
but yeah,
I mean, I grew up in Ohio, but we still got WGN out there. So,
yeah, nope. It's like this 3-minute stop motion animation Christmas special from a million years ago, and it's like a cereal commercial, really. But it ends and they're like Hard Rock. I'm Coco and Joe. So that's you. It's impossible to explain this. I'm realizing.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
It's on YouTube. You could just go watch it and be.
I'm putting
pretend.
It on your wall right now.
All right, I'll get right on that.
But anyway, right. I'm Hard Rock.
I'm guessing Coco. I'm Joe.
I'm John. I'm Coco and John.
Whatever. This is Sleigh Ride by the Ronettes. So, yeah. You guys suck. I have no idea what you're talking about.